You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I am so thrilled this morning to be joined by Danielle Bean. She is author, she's TV host, she's inspirational speaker, she's retreat leader, and she has a new book out, You're Worth It. Change the way you feel about yourself by discovering how Jesus feels about you. This is you can find this on daniellebean.com. It's out from Beacon Publishing. And Danielle, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Allison. I'm thrilled to be here.
I'm always excited to spend some time with you. I follow what you do very closely. I get your daily email. You can get that yourself by daniellebean.com. Just excited to get to see what you're up to. So give us an update. What's up with you?
Yeah, I'm in a little bit of everything, but the book you mentioned is my newest project. And I found, and you know, we were chatting just before starting the show, that this is a message that women really need to hear. The idea that you're worth it. We don't know about our worth, and it's the saddest tale of our time, I think. The fact that so many women are kind of the walking wounded spiritually, physically, emotionally, just not knowing how precious they are, how much they are loved, beloved in the eyes of God, how much Jesus loves them deeply, intimately, personally, uniquely. So I found that women need this. Like, you know, when I was trying to, you know, think what should my next project be, I know that I was on in the past talking with you about Momnipotent, my book before
Love
this
that.
One, where we're really giving moms that shot in the arm about their vocation and motherhood, and that you're built for this, you're made for this, you're strong. And yet I thought, once you've come to accept that, what do you need? What do women need? And what they really need, what we all need, is that relationship with Jesus. So that's what this book is all about.
It really resonated with me. Like each chapter, I'm just going to go through those real quick just because I think it really gives you an idea of what this book, You're Worth It, is about. You are loved. You are strong, whole, worthy, heard, fulfilled, nurtured, and of course, you are worth it. Just every single message that you give in each chapter just really, like I said, resonated with my heart. It's why is that, Danielle? Do you think that women just don't see this about themselves?
Yeah, I think it's tough because there's so much in our world. You know, this is a great time to be a woman because we have more opportunities than ever. And yet at the same time, there's so many parts of our culture that denigrate women and that don't respect women. And inside of our personal relationships, often we find ourselves disrespected or even abused or rejected and abandoned and feeling worthless. And I think that's a sad thing about our times, is that it's a beautiful, amazing time to be a woman. We have all these unique opportunities and things that we never could do in the past. And yet at the same time, so many of us aren't aware of our dignity, aren't aware of our worth, that our culture on the one hand is uplifting women and on the other hand, pushing them down and rejecting them, their whole worth, telling women in subtle and not so subtle ways from the time we're in grade school that, you know, you're only worth as much as you are sexy, or, you know, you're only the young and beautiful have value in our society. And, or the other side of it, that, you know, that your wealth and your career success is the way in which you're going to find fulfillment. And so many of us come away from that feeling disillusioned, like, is that really what I'm made for? Because of course it's not. And, you know, we wind up feeling disappointed. And, you know, ultimately what we're all missing, we all have that emptiness inside, all that longing for connection and communion. And that's with our Creator, with our Lord, with Jesus in a deeply personal way, in a human way. And that's what I really try to explore in this book, is that Jesus is fully God, but he's fully human. And he wants to have a human relationship with every one of us.
And how does Your Worth It change the way you feel about yourself by discovering how Jesus feels about you? Love that title, by the way, by Danielle Bean, my guest today. How does Your Worth It do that? How do you explore that in the book?
Well, I mean, when I went to talk about my relationship with Jesus and the ways in which I've explored my own relationship with Jesus, I couldn't help but think of the women of the Gospels, the women who lived and walked with Jesus, were touched by him, heard his voice, you know, were healed by him physically in his presence. And I've always found those stories to be astonishing because they're so real. And these women have so much. They're everyday women. They're amazing women. Some of them have great stories of the strength of their faith. Some of them have great stories of their terrific terrific weaknesses and failures, and some of them have such great need and, you know, lay themselves at Jesus's feet so that he can heal them. Others of them are surprised by his presence in their lives. I mean, there's just such a variety. And I think these women are us. They're every one of us. Yes, they're real women in history who saw Jesus and were touched by him and heard his voice and were physically in his presence. But at the same time, I think they're representative of every one of us and their own stories. And Jesus's interactions with them can speak to us about God's unique love for women, the way in which Jesus uniquely loves women and upholds the dignity and the worth of every woman. There's a lot that we can learn inside of their stories.
Oh my goodness. And you know, I'd really like to go deeper into one of the stories. Just happens, I'm going to call this a godsend, that it was Sunday's gospel, the woman at the well.
I was
reading it for today to discuss with you. And tonight in Bible study, I opened up to see what we were talking about. And we are on John 4, which happens to be the woman at the well. I thought, okay, all right, Lord, three times. I get it. Smack me over the head. So I'd love to talk a little bit more about her story, because I think there's so much you bring out in Your Worth It, but also that the gospel wants us to know. The first and foremost, I'd love to talk about how Jesus meets us where we're at.
Right.
And how does she represent that?
Yeah, I mean, I love this. And it really dawned on me as I was doing my research for this book and just really, you know, meditating on that gospel and trying to put myself in that place, in that time, in that woman's shoes. And it really struck me, you know, in reading the gospels, in reading scripture, that we're taught, like, there's no extra words. There's nothing that's missing. Everything has meaning. Everything has significance in the gospel. And that in this huge, long passage about this woman, this Samaritan woman at the well, we never find out her name. We don't know her name. We don't, you know, all of history is reflecting on this woman. And yet, where is her name? It's not an accident that it's left out. And I really think it's a message. It's God's message to us that this is every woman. Yes, it was one unique individual woman who had this interaction with Jesus, but she's representative of every one of us. She is woman. And Jesus's interactions with her are so important. But, you know, we talked about this. I'm sure people just, you know, listened to the gospel and heard their priest's homilies. And maybe some of your priests pointed out that, you know, right there in the gospel, it's like Jesus should not have been talking to this woman. I mean, it was a scandal, you know, triple scandal, because she's a woman, because she's a Samaritan, because she's a sinner. Like, stay away. No decent person's going to be going there. No decent Jew. And yet Jesus does. He just matter-of-factly is waiting at the well for her. He knew she was coming there. He knew she was going to be there. She didn't know. And so that, I think that really teaches us a lot about how Jesus connects with us, how he longs for connection with us. And he puts himself in our lives, in our everyday lives, sometimes where we least expect to find him, in our everyday routines. I mean, there's nothing, think of the drudgery of providing food and water for your family. Woman knows it, right? And so did this woman, the Samaritan woman, and she was going to the well in the middle of the day when no one else would be there because it was so hot. Nobody in their right mind would get water at that time of day. And yet she was doing it because she was an outcast, even in her own society, even in her own community. She was an outcast. She didn't fit in. She was rejected. And yet there's Jesus waiting for her at the well. He knew she was coming. He's right there lying in the path of her everyday routines, the mundaneness of her everyday chores, the things that she's just doing, you know, schlepping the water for her family. And yet there he is waiting for her. Yeah. And I think that it's so important for us to reflect on the fact he's doing the same for each of us. He's right there. Sometimes we don't know it. And it's not because he's not there. It's because we haven't opened our eyes to see where he is in the people he places in our lives, in the circumstances he places in our lives. He's right there present with us in all of it. And he's longing to meet us in our everydayness.
And we have that responsibility too, to accept that, to step out. Like, I think about her walking up to the well and here's this guy and she's like, you know, I come here at this time because I don't want to engage with anybody and I really shouldn't be here with this stranger. And she could have just walked away.
Right.
Yet, you know, something in her must have given her that piece of go. It's okay. Come forward. And I wonder how many times in my life the Lord has brought me to a place where he's going to meet me and he's given me the peace to step into it. And yet maybe I've run in fear or just not felt you know, open, or like you just said, like to be open, that my heart was ready to accept it. Like I've had people, you know, before I had my reversion, talking about Christ and their relationship, and I just, you know, didn't get it, or I turned away from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's so true. You've got to be open to it. And you know, the number one way that we, sometimes God will smack us over the head. You know, we've all been there. We've all experienced that. And sometimes it's painful. But he doesn't only speak to us in that way. He also nudges us. He also gives us little hints of his presence in small ways that if we're aware of it, you know, there are times in my life where I've, you know, been going through a challenging time, something especially difficult or suffering through something. And in those times, my temptation is to be like, where are you, God? Like, where are you? I feel alone in this. And yet, if I'm honest with myself and not being a brat about complaining about my circumstances, he's right there. He's right there inside of that suffering, longing for me to accept that suffering out of love for him, to, you know, unite it with his suffering on the cross. So no matter how small and ridiculous it is compared to what he's done for us, he's longing for that connection with me. He's right there. But sometimes we're too stubborn to open our eyes to his presence.
Yeah, sometimes that can be hard because it also requires us to look really closely at ourselves. But I love also both the woman and the well, that Jesus first, he doesn't like throw her guilt and shame at her. He comes into conversation. He befriends her. He gives her love and support. And then he brings her to the place where she needs to look at the truth. We're talking today with Danielle Bean. We're looking at her new book, You're Worth It: Change the Way You Feel About Yourself by Discovering How Jesus Feels About You. When we come back, we'll pick up with more of the wonderful women in the gospel and what they teach us about how we're worth it. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm joined this morning by Danielle Bean. She's author, TV host, inspirational speaker, retreat leader, and she's just an editor of Catholic Digest. You name it, this woman does it. And today we're talking about You're Worth It, her new book, subtitled Change the Way You Feel About Yourself by Discovering How Jesus Feels About You, out from Beacon Publishing. And you can find out more by visiting daniellebean.com. And we left off talking about the woman at the well, how Jesus meets us where we're at. And I was saying that I love how he so gently enters into relationship with her. I tell people all the time, you're never going to convert somebody or change anyone's heart about Christ if you tell them all the things they do wrong.
Right. Yeah, I think that's so true. That's great advice for anybody approaching anybody who you want to change and fix. And we all want to change and fix the people we love in our lives. And yet, here's Jesus showing us the right way to do that, which is not hitting someone over the head with their sins. None of us will respond well to that. And he knows that. And I mean, this conversation is like beautiful and inspiring, but also hilarious to me, because here's this woman. And I saw somebody on Twitter last night talking about the gospel saying, you know, this woman is the master of indirect communication, just like any woman is, you know, where she's kind of hinting like, oh, hey, there's this Messiah people are talking about. Meanwhile, her mind is racing like, is this the Messiah that I am talking to? You know? And then, you know, he just like casually lets her know like, hey, you've spoken rightly. You do not have a husband. You've had five, and just tells her everything he knows about her. And yet that was later in the conversation. You're right. He didn't begin with that. And the way that he does it is just, he's very matter of fact. And I think that's how Jesus is about our sinfulness, that he's not going to maybe in the new age feel good kind of way that might be popular in our culture, you know, brush it off. Oh, it's no big deal. It doesn't matter. You know, oh, that's not really a sin or whatever. He's not like that. He fully recognizes sin for what it is and the ways in which it hurts us, but he's matter of fact about it. He's not going to tell us it makes us worthless the way that, you know, that other voice in our ear that's not from God telling us, you know, that we're too sinful. We can't be forgiven. We can't be worthy of God's love, that, you know, because we failed, because we've sinned. You know, I think the devil's the master at this, where before we sin, it's all about, you know, oh, it's no big deal. It's no problem at all. And it's not really a sin. But the minute you do, he won't let you forget what a grave sin it is and what an offense it is to God, and that, you know, and try to sell you on that idea that now you're worthless and you can't approach God and that God can't forgive this. And yet God is so much bigger than that. So I love that Jesus is very matter of fact about this woman's sinfulness, fully acknowledges it, but not in a way that tells her she's not worthy, in a way that gives her hope. He's offering her at the same time that life-giving water, that eternal water that's going to finally, you know, give her relief from that thirst that we all have, that longing that she has, that every human being has. And women have in a unique way, a longing for God in our own feminine way. And he was fully recognizing that. So letting her know at the same time as acknowledging her sinfulness and acknowledging the gravity of that, letting her know that there's hope and there's healing. He was offering her that at the same time.
Yeah, I love it. In the book you say, and I'm talking this morning with Danielle Bean, her book is You're Worth It, and you can find out more on daniellebean.com. But I love when you say that Jesus speaks of women's sin and guilt with truth. It's hard to hear, but essential to the forgiveness and healing that, you know, that she needed, but she needed to hear the truth. She already knows it. We already know the things that we do that separate us from God or make us really struggled in with sin and guilt. And we know those things in our heart. Mm-hmm. But I think the most important thing that you've been saying and that your book helps us recognize is that that doesn't separate us forever from God, that it doesn't change one iota of how much he loves us.
Right, exactly. So he still loves us every bit as much. And he's hurting for us. You know, it hurts him to see us hurt ourselves in the way that we do. And you're so right that sometimes we know our sinfulness, and we know in the ways in which we failed and the ways in which we're weak and vulnerable. And yet hearing somebody speak it is sometimes the first step toward healing, you know, fully acknowledging that hurt. Because think about, you know, even ways that aren't involving your own personal sin, but ways in which you've been hurt. There's nothing that adds to that pain more than pretending it doesn't exist, or somebody, you know, denying your right to feel the hurt that you're feeling, or somebody brushing it off as no big deal when you're really very wounded by something. You know, I'm reminded of a friend of mine when I was growing up in grade school. I had a close friend whose parents were getting divorced. And I remember her just telling me, and it was just such a raw, painful moment for her, telling me, I just wish somebody would stop, you know, that they would stop telling me it's not a big deal and that it, you know, everything's going to be great, because it's not great. It is a big deal. And, you know, sometimes in our rush to make people feel better, we have that temptation to brush over things or tell them it's no big deal and it's all going to be fine and it's all going to be great. And yet putting that happy face on top of something that's broken, it's going to hurt more than ever. And Jesus knows that. So he fully acknowledges our brokenness. He fully acknowledges our sinfulness and the ways in which we're weak and that we can't do it on our own. And yet at the same time, he offers us that gift of forgiveness and healing. He loves us every bit as much, maybe even more so. I think he looks at us with such compassion.
Oh, I agree.
You know, I think of my own experiences as a mom, and, you know, my relationship with God has certainly changed since I've become a parent myself. But if you're a parent, think about a time when you've seen your own child making a mistake. And especially as our children grow, we have to. Sometimes there's nothing we can do but watch and advise and pray for them. And yet sometimes you're going to stand there and watch them hurt themselves. And think of how your heart just aches for that child in that moment. And that's how God aches for us when we're screwing up, when we're messing up our lives. He's responding to us with that same compassion, that same love.
Absolutely. His mercy is endless. I think about that. The analogy of a parent is that how am I, like, that's so weak and human, and how much I love my child, you know, regardless of what they're doing. It hurts me to see them hurt themselves. But sometimes, like you said, you have to let them walk through it that logical consequences that and the natural consequences that I absolutely hate. And I like helicopter mom always trying to protect them from this, but it doesn't help them, because if I don't allow them to see for themselves how this hurts them, or, you know, let them figure out the problem, then, and sometimes I feel like we kind of confuse that with God. Like, oh, he's abandoning me. He's, you know, I'm doing this and he's not here with me. But really, he's like, I'm right here, but I have to let you through this so that you are a better person. Like, you're a better version of yourself, that you're better able to embrace the abundant life that I have for you.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's so important to remember that. And I think thinking of the ways in which we love our children, I think is so helpful to us in beginning to even understand the depths of God's love, which of course we can never grasp. But yes, the fact that we're so flawed and yet we're capable of this enormous self-giving love, you know, for our children and for our families, that God loves them better than that. He loves us better than that. And so that can begin to open up your mind just a little bit so that you might begin to trust in that love that God has for you.
Another point that you made that I really loved was, you're only as sick as your secrets.
Right. I mean, I stole that from the 12-step program, right? I think it's from AA or one of those types of programs. But it's true. I mean, that really struck me with its truth when I heard it, because I think every one of us can relate to that. You're only as sick as your secrets, the things that you're not willing to lay bare, the things that you're keeping wrapped up, hidden up inside. And some of us have a hurt that's deep inside, and maybe it goes back a long time. Maybe it goes back to your childhood. Maybe it goes back to an experience as a young adult. Whatever it is, those kinds of hurts, sometimes we hold on to them so deep inside and don't share them, don't open them up to God's healing and forgiveness and love. And we wrap layer upon layer upon layer on top of it out of defensiveness, out of insecurity, out of a feeling of worthlessness. And yet what we're doing is we're preventing ourselves from being healed. You know, I always remind people of that Christ is, one of his titles is the great physician. He's a physician. He's a healer. He's a doctor, you know? And think of yourself, like if you have some horrible wound and you go to the doctor to have him heal it, and yet he says, okay, let me take a look at it, and you say, oh no, it's too gross, you know, I can't admit I have this cut on my hand, I'm not going to show it to you. Well, how's he going to help you? How's he going to heal you? How is he going to help make you better? And the same is true with Jesus. If we're hiding our brokenness, if we're hiding our wounds and our hurts out of insecurity, out of defensiveness, and out of a feeling of worthlessness, if we're hiding that, he can't heal us if we're in denial of it. And it's so hard, and it can be so scary to just lay ourselves bare, to admit the things we've done wrong, to admit the ways in which we're wounded, the ways in which we're hurt by ourselves and by other people, by our past experiences, by our present relationships. It can really hurt to speak that truth, and yet there's healing in that truth, and Jesus knows that. So that's why he's reaching out to us and encouraging us to be honest.
Oh, there's so much. It's funny. I was writing the word layers as you said the word layers. I love that affirmation. We're really, here we are today. I'm talking with Danielle Bean. We're talking about her book, Worth It. And I just did a forgiveness retreat on Saturday. And, you know, someone said, well, I felt like I've forgiven that person, yet it feels like I'm back to square one. And I talked about the layers that we have, and that's true with our own healing. God peels back a layer, and you know, you have that new, you know, wound that is there, and you think, oh, I haven't gone anywhere, but you really have. God is so gentle. He's not going to completely tear everything open and grab out those roots that have been growing your whole life. Probably we all have those deep wounds, those child wounds, those daughter wounds, all of those things that we need to gently, because he's a gentle, loving God, pull out and weed out, because he wants us again to have that abundant life. But it's all about the layers. Oh, so wonderful. I'm talking this morning with Danielle Bean, and we're talking about her book, You're Worth It. We come back, we'll have more with her. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm joined this morning by Danielle Bean, and we're looking at her new book, You're Worth It. Change the way you feel about yourself by discovering how Jesus feels about you. You can learn more on daniellebean.com. And one of the chapters is called You Are Strong. And it said, I had faith when it felt good. And it reminded me of the moment where I suffered my second miscarriage. I had an ectopic and I nearly died from surgery. And it was very overwhelming. And then the Lord had allowed me to get pregnant again. And I thought, okay, I've had a two-month preemie. I had an ectopic. Like, this is my time, Lord. This is going to be like a normal, awesome pregnancy. And then not even 8 weeks in, I lost the baby. And I was devastated. I felt like the Lord had just completely abandoned me. I kept thinking, what am I doing wrong? Why? You know, I try to follow you, Lord. I pray. I do an FP. Like, what's happening?
Right.
And in this chapter, you say, I felt like God had kicked me in the teeth.
And yeah.
Would you mind telling us about that experience where you felt?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's very human to feel that way. And, you know, it's hard for me to admit, because this is, you know, a blow to my Catholic ego, because, you know, here I was outwardly doing all the right things, mm-hmm. and feeling pretty darn good about it. You know, like, oh, great. I've got this great faith life. I'm living this great Catholic family life. I'm praying the rosary. I'm going to mass. I'm praying with my kids, you know, all of those things, and just checking off all the boxes. And yet what this situation with my son, who was diagnosed with a serious, non-curable, life-threatening illness when he was just a baby. What this laid bare was that I was a fake. I was a big, bad fake in my faith life. I had no real faith, you know? And that's tough. I mean, it was so tough for me. What it laid bare was this idea that I had, and I never would have said I did. I never would have thought I did. But I had this secret deal, this unspoken deal with God. Like, I'm doing all the right things, so then you will do as I want, you know, and my life will go the way that I plan it. And so I really did. I felt abandoned by God. I felt kicked in the teeth by God. And, you know, in a way that really ultimately led to growth in my faith life, but what a painful thing to go through. Yes. What a blow to my Catholic ego that, oh, I wasn't the awesome, faithful Catholic that I thought I was. I was a big sham. And that I didn't, when it actually mattered, I didn't trust God. I didn't have faith in God. And when I was praying, thy will be done, what I really meant was, as long as it matches my will, you know,
I was a
fat baby about the whole thing. And yet, I think it's those moments in life, God allows us to suffer those things. He allows us to suffer loss. He allows us to grieve. He allows us to be hurt in so many ways. You know, he doesn't want us to hurt. He doesn't want us to suffer. And yet he allows it for our own good. Yes. And as much as we hate to hear that when we're suffering, it's for your own good. I mean, nothing makes me more angry when I'm suffering than for someone to come and give me a lecture about how I'm going to be so much better for it. And yet it ultimately is the truth, because I could tell you from the other side, and, you know, not knowing what the future holds, and I'm still not, you know, I'm still not that model Catholic. I still don't have that great strength of faith, but I'm working toward it. And I know at least some of the ways in which I fall short, and I can recognize it. And then you can begin there rather than saying to yourself, like the Pharisee, oh, you know, I've got this great faith. Aren't you lucky, God, that I'm worshiping you so perfectly? And, you know, our prayer can then become one from our place of need and say, God, I'm having trouble trusting you. Help me to trust you, God. Help me to know you more. Help me to love you more. You know, help me to grow closer to you through this suffering that I don't understand, that I don't want, that ultimately I reject. And I'm rejecting, you know, what very well might be your will. And yet help me to know your will. Help me to accept your will, even when I feel like it clashes with my own.
Absolutely. And I think it's okay that we do have those moments where we struggle. My spiritual director tells me that I want a prenup with God. Like, I'll love you, but
This can't happen and this can't happen.
Exactly. But I think the most important thing is that we stayed in the conversation. Like, it's okay to be, I mean, God gave you your brain. He can read it. He knows when you're angry. He knows when you're scared. He knows when you're doubting and you're not completely in on the plan. But if you stay in the conversation, that's very different than rejecting him. When I had that second miscarriage, I stopped praying for about 2 weeks and I started to feel really empty and hollow. And I kind of came back to him like sheepishly. Like, I'm only talking to you because I don't know what else to do, but I'm really kind of mad and I'm not completely sure you're there, but I'm going to yell at you anyway. And little by little, I started to, you know, warm back up and, you know, all those things that he had been teaching me started to make more sense, but it wasn't overnight and it really came with many starts and stops, but I stayed in the conversation. Mm-hmm. And in this chapter, you talk about a couple other women I'd love to chat about. Okay, now everybody knows I can't say her name, but I'm going to say it anyway. Just get it out of the way. Martha. From Bethany. Yes. I'm not going to say it again. With Mary, her sister. Now, yeah. I'm not a Martha person. I don't have her hospitality gene. I totally miss that. I'm more Mary at the feet. Yeah. So, but I do see so many people resonate really with her. So tell me what Martha has to do with being strong.
Yeah, I think because what we see in that passage, and I think so many women love this gospel passage, because whether you identify more with Martha or with Mary, that it's really a gospel that's devoted to us. It's girls, you know, it's women. And it's our unique spirituality that's on display here, and the kind of duality that we all have. Whether you're more Martha or more Mary, we all have that kind of battle going on inside of us between the things of this world and our relationship with God. And, you know, that Jesus speaks so gently to Martha when she's distracted by her many things. And I love, you know, I love how Jesus is so loving. And like, you can almost hear like the twinkle in his eye as he's like, Martha, Martha, you're worried about many things, you know? And, you know, how many of us have many things, even those of us who aren't great housekeepers or great, you know, hostesses or whatever, that don't relate to that side. We still have things. We've got stuff. We've got stuff that distracts us, whether it's caring for your family or whether it's just anxiety and worry about the future or something with your health. We've all got things that come between us and God, things that we'll place between us and God that, you know, that I think so many of us could feel a little bit defensive, like, well, you know, it's actually important, you know, to feed the people who come into your home and you've got important people visiting. And I think we can all relate to that. And anybody who's ever, you know, had a sister or a sister kind of relationship in their life can relate to the kind of rivalry there. Like, oh my gosh, I am doing all the work. Like, this is ridiculous. And I love that Martha was so confident about her rightness that she boldly marches up to Jesus and says, tell her to help me. And yet he responds in a way that's very surprising to her and to us a little bit, that what? She's chosen the better part. What are you even talking about? But then, you know, now we can see, and now Martha sees, you've got Jesus in your living room. You know, what are you doing with the pots and pans and cooking dinner and whatever you're doing, serving your guests? Jesus is in your living room. And yet we may not physically have Jesus present in our living rooms, but we all do, you know, spiritually speaking, have Jesus in our living rooms. He's right here. He's right here with us. And that doesn't mean we don't do all the things. We don't do all the stuff. It's important. We all are living out these, you know, most of us aren't called to a contemplative life in a convent. So that means we're living out active vocations. I get it, you know, and Jesus gets it, that there's stuff that needs to be done. But it means having your priorities in order. That what was Mary doing? Jesus was in her living room, so she was sitting at his feet. And I love that posture. You know, I think it's beautiful and so open and receptive in the way that women are uniquely gifted in doing, being receptive to others, to just sit at his feet, just sit at the master's feet and listen to what he's going to share. Just be fully present there, that people and relationships are more important than the stuff, the things, the distractions, the stuff we put between us and God, that our relationship with God is primary. And so I love that image and I try to keep that with me, that even when I have to be Martha and I'm driving 1,000 kids 1,000 places and there's all the dishes and somebody's got to make dinner and, you know, the laundry's piling up and all of those things that threaten to distract us, we can be doing them all. But interiorly, we can be sitting at Jesus's feet. And it's all worth so much more. Our work is worth so much more when we give it to God in that way. When in our hearts and minds, we say, Jesus, I want to sit at your feet today. And we remind ourselves of that throughout the day, just turning to him in all of our moments, sitting at his feet, being present there, being recognized, you know, being fully recognizing of his presence in our lives, that that relationship that we're called to have with him. Sit at his feet inside your heart, inside of your mind, even when your body's very busy.
I love that imagery. The other one, we have just a few minutes left in the segment, but the hemorrhaging woman, that one touch, you know, what does she have to teach us?
Oh, I know. Can you imagine? I mean, I shared with you the weakness of my faith. and yet here's this woman. Imagine a faith like that, that she fully trusted. She didn't need to have him do some big dramatic healing. She trusted in his power, in his strength, in his love, in his healing. If I but touch the hem of his cloak, she would be healed. And then Jesus tells her, your faith has healed you. And what a beautiful message to every one of us.
Yeah, you can imagine like having a faith that, and I feel like I've had moments like that. And I think that if every woman who's trying to have a relationship with Christ really looks at the hindsight, the beauty of their own faith with him, their own faith life with him, we all can find that one moment where, wait, I did have faith as strong as a mustard seed, and look what Jesus did with it. And he did heal this part of my heart, or, you know, just the fact that I'm still in conversation with him. Obviously there's healing going on and his mercy is being revealed to me in some way. We're talking today with Danielle Bean about her new book, You're Worth It: Change the Way You Feel About Yourself by Discovering How Jesus Feels About You. You can go to daniellebean.com for more information. Please stay tuned. We still have more with Danielle Bean. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm joined this morning by Danielle Bean. Her new book, You're Worth It: Change the Way You Feel About Yourself by Discovering How Jesus Feels About You, out from Beacon Publishing. You can go to daniellebean.com for more. And just to refresh from the beginning, I said the different chapters were you are loved, you're strong, you are whole, you are worthy, you are heard, you are fulfilled, you are nurtured, and of course, you are worth it. Now, along with the book, Danielle, I've noticed that you're having retreats. Can you tell me a little bit about what the retreat is and how that relates to the You're Worth It book?
Yeah, I mean, what I found was, especially with my previous book, Momnipotent, that has a study component, was that women really want that opportunity to get together, to share with one another, to encourage and affirm one another. And that we're uniquely gifted at doing that for one another when we make the time for it. And yet my personal experience with retreats is I often will say I recognize the value of a retreat and I should make it a priority, but wow, when am I going to clear my calendar for a weekend and be able to, you know, get together with other women for a few days retreat? Well, it's very unlikely to happen anytime in the near future.
Sadly, yes,
and
I agree.
Yes, and I think most women find themselves in that place, and yet we still have this need. And so I thought, I'm going to design a day retreat, specifically that it can be done in one day, can be done in a morning or in an afternoon, depending on, you know, the people who are hosting it, what their preferences are, and just make it all encompassed inside of, you know, between 4 and 6 hours, and really speak to women, to their hearts, about Jesus's unique love for them. We all have this need to hear that message. And gosh, the retreat's been so well received. I mean, I've just become more and more affirmed in my acknowledgement of this need that women have, that there is this need out there. They're hungry for this message, from, you know, about Jesus's love, but they're also hungry for this opportunity to get together with other women, share with their sisters in Christ, and connect with them about the things that really matter and share from their hearts in unique ways, in vulnerable ways, and in ways that can really connect us with one another and really bond us with one another. And we can really grow together, but also personally in our faith lives through these retreats. So I really felt called to put this together, and it's been beautiful to see the different ways. I've done it at several different parishes now, and I've got, you know, several bookings that are coming up in the coming months. And it's just beautiful to see the different ways that different communities will plan the retreat. And, you know, some will include confession, some will include, you know, more time for socializing, some will include like a breakfast or a lunch or mass or adoration as part of it. And just, it's so beautiful to see the unique voice of each of these different, you know, communities of women, and what, first of all, what their needs are, which we all have things in common, but then we're all different. We all have, you know, unique needs as individuals, but also as communities. And so it's been just beautiful to see the ways in which that has kind of worked out as I've been sharing this retreat with women all over the United States.
Well, I think I'm glad that you explained a little bit more about what it looks like, because I really struggle with how to name it. Like I said, I do them myself, and I want to call them a retreat because that's how I want people to see it. I want you to retreat from your daily life. I want you to come away, and I do, you know, mostly just morning only, because I feel like women, we can give up a little bit of our weekend for ourselves. We put ourselves on the back burner. We're always the last. But if you tell them you'll be home by noon, as I was telling you earlier, you said, yeah, before the teenagers wake up. I love that response. Yes.
You get back before they even miss you.
Some people call it a day of recollection or morning of recollection.
Yes.
And how, you know, you call it a retreat. Why do you refer to it that way?
Well, I think it's just, like you said, it's important to acknowledge our need to do that, to retreat from your life, to, even if it's just for a few hours on a Saturday morning, to check out. And that's what I do at the start of these retreat experiences, is I encourage women, all that stuff, we've all got the stuff in our heads, in our minds. We're all burdened with all these things, and we've got our lists in our heads and our worries in our heads, and, you know, the things that we're carrying with us. I say, leave it, you know, leave it there right before you come in this room. Leave it, or leave it, you know, at the foot of the cross. Jesus will take care of it for you while you're here and just focused on your relationship with him. We need sometimes to just verbally give each other permission to do that. And, you know, because we women, we go around feeling responsible for everyone. And sometimes what we think is our greatest responsibility is absolutely ludicrous, is, you know, actually worrying about everything. That we think we're keeping all of these balls in the air by worrying. And our own anxiety is keeping our loved ones alive and fed and healthy. Well, that's not how it works. And so sometimes we do need to just give each other permission, in even in a humorous way, like, leave your junk here and just take a break from it. And, you know, you may come back to it and it might feel much less burdensome. You may not want to pick it back up afterwards. Mm. You know, you might say, well, you know what? God's got that. And I think it's important to tell each other, to encourage one another, to let go of our stuff, at least for a few hours, and just retreat together and just focus on our relationship with Jesus. There's so much that can be gained there.
One of my favorite lines from St. Paul in Philippians 4 is that he says, take that back. Oh, it would be from Jesus in Matthew's gospel.
That guy
in Matthew 6, where he says, can you add a moment to your lifespan by worrying?
Right.
You can't.
Yeah. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves, even if you know that, you know, worrying is worthless, that we need to keep reminding ourselves, because it becomes a habit. We just naturally go back there. We start to worry and we feel like we're accomplishing something. But what you're doing is, you're not trusting God. Trusting God. You're trusting in yourself and your own human limitations, and worrying about what your limitations are, when God is limitless and he's got it. He's got this.
He does. And St. Paul's the one, actually, in Philippians 4, he says, worry about nothing, pray about everything with thanksgiving. And you'll get the peace that surpasses all understanding. Like, who doesn't want peace that surpasses all your understanding? I'm too busy worrying. Which doesn't change a thing. That's what I have in common with Martha. That's what I have in common. So if I won, yes, exactly. I'd be a gold medalist if it was an Olympic sport. Now, if I want this retreat, the Worth It, your Worth It retreat, to come to my parish, can I reach out to you? Is it something
that... you can go to daniellebean.com/retreat, and there's more information there. There's a little form you can fill out to get all the details. And for anyone who's interested, if you're not sure, or if you want to put together a case for your pastor or for your diocese that, you know, we really should, you know, bring this event here to our parish, I'm happy to send you a complimentary copy of my book, You're Worth It, which we've been talking about here today, just so you can read it and share it with the people in your community and decide, you know, whether or not the themes in that book are something that you want to bring to your community, decide whether or not it's a good fit for your parish or for your women's group.
Sounds great. And I do believe that it's worth it, not to be corny, but it really is. I enjoyed reading it. I'm so grateful that you sent it to me and you made time this morning to talk about it. Again, my guest today is Danielle Bean. But Danielle, I think I would be remiss not to mention, before we end our time together, some of the other things that you are so active in. Of course, you are the editor of Catholic Digest. And I'd asked you before we went live again, if it was still a digest, like Reader's Digest, where it used to be reprints of stuff, but it isn't anymore.
No, the Digest is a little bit of a misnomer. We've been holding on to it because it's such a recognizable brand, and yet it's not really what we are anymore. So we're in conversation about transitioning how we identify ourselves, but Catholic Digest is full of new content. It's not gathered from other sources. Fresh voices, the people in the church who are teaching us, are sharing about the faith in real ways. You know, some of the most popular Catholic writers online, you'll find them in the pages of Catholic Digest. They're people from all walks of life, not just people raising young families, but people in all different stages of life, in retirement, or ones who are raising teenagers or concerned about college decisions. So we're really speaking to people in all walks of life inside of Catholic living.
Wonderful. And the other thing that I was actually blessed that you invited me on was your girlfriend's podcast, Know Your Worth, Find Your Joy. Is that, I see that's still going.
Oh, yeah. I'm loving doing that. You know, years ago, I started out sharing online through blogging back, you know, before I even knew what a blog was, I was blogging. And that was such a great way to really personally connect with people. And it really was a great, you know, move for me professionally, because it turned into other opportunities, led to other writing opportunities, publishing. And really, I've grown a whole career from, you know, that start. But I found that in recent years, I was really missing that connection, that personal connection with people, the one-to-one, the really sharing all of it, you know, everything that's going on in my life and the different kind of struggles I have and, you know, just really connecting with people one-on-one. I missed my own voice, you know, in that way. So I found that podcasting was a great new way for me to explore connecting with people, very much like what you do here on the show, Allison, just connecting with people in a really personal way about the things that really matter, about our faith lives, but even about the everyday stuff and involved in, you know, living and working from home and raising a family and all the challenges that come with that, but also the unique joys. So I've really enjoyed that. You know, I'm committed to doing it once a week, and today it's going to be my 63rd episode that's going to be publishing. And so I feel good about that. And I feel really affirmed in the fact that people have responded really well to it. And that it's just a joy to be able to share and connect with people in that way.
Well, I just downloaded just to listen later, Living Debt Free. You just had on Sam Fetziger, and I can't wait to listen to her. And you're also, of course, you do The Gist on Catholic television. Great television show. Danielle, we just thank you for all that you do for the kingdom and how you just seem to be like the Energizer Bunny of Catholic media. We're so grateful for you.
Oh, thank you, Allison. It's been a joy talking with you. I always enjoy our time together.
Me too. We've been blessed to meet Danielle many, many years ago, back when we were both just dreaming about doing the Lord's work, and just grateful that he continues to connect us. Thank you again, Danielle Bean, daniellebean.com, for more information. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.